And a couple of years ago, we had the theme, the whole armor of God, and we want to touch on that tonight. And probably some Wednesday night, though Wednesday night the kids will have a service as well. And I'd encourage you to stick around for that. We'll have a brief time on Wednesday night as well, kind of to ourselves, and then they come back in at the end of the of their class on Wednesday night, and one of our guys will be preaching. And let's pray hard that God would touch hearts and save souls. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 10 with me. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for the word of God. We pray, Lord, as we think upon the subject of the fight and the good fight of faith, that you would help us as we endeavor to follow in your son's steps, to live for you. We ask this in your name. Amen. What a tremendous picture that Paul gives us as we think about in the Christian life and the Christian faith, that we are compared to a soldier. And we're compared to that, and again, a great illustration. I thought Brother Tolentino did a great job all ago. And he fits the picture, he really does. And I just laughed when he tried to get those kids to stand to dismiss. But we think about Paul encouraging us. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he says, "For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, Paul says to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I am glad I was chosen to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I certainly don't want to entangle myself with the things that are going on in this life, but I want to please Him. I want to have favor with the Lord. And part of that finding favor and the blessings of the Lord is to follow our commander, to do what our commander says, right? If we don't do what our commander says, bad things happen. You know, we don't get snack time, whatever the case is, for the kids tonight. But fight the good fight of faith, Paul says there in Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I hope one day that I can stand before God and say the same thing. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Hope all of us can say that. As we review this morning's sermon, we think about our enemies. Our enemies, the world and the flesh and Satan. And by the way, in this Christian warfare, it's good to know your enemies. Right? As we think about the world, our weapon is faith, and that we ought to faith overcometh the world. And as I said, I tried to do a job this morning, and I want to do some more study on it. But when it talks about faith overcometh the world, it's that same faith we had in trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. That faith and that trust we put in Him to save us is the same faith and trust that we should put to Him and give to Him in the area of living and fighting against the world. In other words, trusting Him to take care of us in this world, and not trusting our neighbor, not trusting, you know, our jobs, not trusting the things that we put confidence in, but putting confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that's impossible on VBS night. Y'all ready? Everybody stick with me. And so against the world we use faith, against the flesh we use flight, flee also youthful lust, and that we ought to flee those things which are carnal, flee those things which are wrong. And I tell you, as adults, I know that I was really looked at the teenagers a lot this morning, but adults, we're just as guilty. Man, we get in a situation we shouldn't be in. We need to get out of there. Make no provision for the flesh. Flee also youthful lust. Get out of the situation. And then lastly, the devil. And then the Bible talks about that we should fight the good fight of faith. That we ought to put on the whole armor of God. And I just want to encourage you as adults, listen, to get up in the mornings before you go to work and take just a few minutes to read your Bible. Take a few minutes to alone time with the Lord Jesus and develop that personal walk with Him and that sweet hour of prayer, and just take that time, and what a difference it'll make in your warfare. What a difference it'll make in your life just to get up in the mornings and put on that armor and face the day with the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Amen. I can tell the difference. When I there's times that I do extracurricular activities, And I get up really, really early and do those things. I tell you, sometimes I miss the Bible reading time and it affects me during the day. Now again, I was raised in a church that was kind of performance-based Christianity. I don't believe the Lord's going to kill you the first day you miss your Bible reading. I was kind of raised that way, you know. If you don't read your Bible, lightning's going to come down from heaven and wipe you out. But you cannot live the day, effectively as you should without Jesus Christ and putting on that armor that you should have on. Amen? Everyone would agree to that. And we should read our Bibles consistently. We should pray consistently. We should develop that personal walk with Him consistently in order to have that armor that we might be able to fight against the devil. We can't not defeat the devil and Satan unless we have the strength of the Lord. And that's what it says there in our text. It says there in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." It's through His strength that we overcome the enemy. It is only through Christ that we will win the victory. As we think about that in war, it's wise to know your enemy. Can I tell you, the Bible is our intelligence book. It's wise to know your enemy. I've told you this before. We preached this before. But here's your intelligence book. This tells you about your enemy, your enemies. It tells you about your enemies. And therefore, when we get that report, we know our enemies, we can have a battle plan to defeat them. And I've given you those three things already. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We think about that picture of a soldier. As Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. And whether he had this in mind or whether he was looking back in the Old Testament to Joshua, that appearance of Christ as a theophany. There, and remember when Joshua was approached by the Lord, the angel of the Lord? It said, Joshua said to him, "Are you for us or against us?" And the angel said, "Take your shoes off because you're meeting the Lord right here." Isn't that good? I really believe Paul, if no doubt, had this somewhat in mind. The captain of our salvation. I mean, all the illustrations that are used not only in the Old Testament but the New Testament. The soldier of the Lord. God does not leave us defenseless in the battle. We are to take the armor and put it on every morning by way of reading the Word of God and praying and having that devotional time with the Lord. We're to have that put on that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mentioned that word wiles this morning, so let's define that once again. The word wiles means an artful method of persuasion, a trick using guile. Deceiving, trickery, low cunning, so as to deceive or to snare. Did you ever as a kid try to make a trap to trap a rabbit or something? We did that as kids. You know, you put the box out there with a stick on it with a string. You never tried that? I was raised out in the country. There were a lot of little bunnies. They were very abundant. Sometimes we'd catch them, you know, sometimes the dogs would catch them, but that's a different story. But we tried to, you know, get the bunny to come over, and of course it never worked. But we shot them with the pellet guns instead. And then Grandpa would make us skin and eat them. But anyway, that's another whole story. But you put that trap together. I remember my Papa on the farm constantly with cattle trying to keep the raccoons out of the feed and putting those live bait traps out. He always kept a couple of them out and catching these raccoons all the time. That's the devil, man. He sets out that trap and he puts the bait in there and he's trying to ensnare you. He's trying to ensnare you. And he will do and use any means possible to do that. And whether it's a box with a stick or whether it's a metal cage, a trap, that actually it will get you and it will get me. We have to be so careful. So that word has a lot to do with ensnaring. Webster says it's a trick or a stratagem practiced for ensnaring or deception, a sly, insidious artifice. It means deceit, craftiness, trickery, methods, or strategies. So he's not just haphazardly going about the business here. He's got a strategy. He's got a method. Every time. Uses the same strategy, the same method. Found in 1 John. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Constantly and consistent about it. Satan attacks us where we're vulnerable. You know when the Bible talks about the lay aside that weight that so easily besets you? It is an absolute biblical fact that each one of us have a weak point. And some of us have more than one. And so the devil knows that weak point. Everybody still with me? The devil knows that weak point. He knows exactly where it's at. And that sin that so easily besets you, and that sin that you're dealing with probably on a consistent basis, the devil knows that. He's constantly trying to trick you and ensnare you to go back into that particular sin or that particular habit or that particular whatever it may be. And so you constantly have to check yourself. And whether that's that habit or that sin is the habit and sin of gossip, or whether that habit or sin is the habit of drinking alcohol or whatever it may be, you have to consistently watch yourself. Amen. Because he's going to bring you back to it every time. Because he knows that's your weak point. You say, well, I don't have a weak point. Let's see. 1 John 1:9 says, if you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. So everyone has one. And like I said, it's not just one sometimes. Sometimes it's many. And you say, well, what's yours, preacher? I'm not going to tell you, but I know it. Listen, I've come to the realization. I'm old enough now. I know my weak points. I've got a couple of them. Three of them. Four. Five. But I know my major ones. You know what I'm saying? And most of us will live long enough to know them. If you don't, you say, well, I don't know mine. Maybe you pray about that. Maybe because you've never confessed it before. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, you know, be careful. He'll use discouragement. You say discouragement's a sin? Absolutely. Being discouraged is a sin. And he'll use discouragement to get so many people. You say, well, what do I do about discouragement? You go to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Amen. I'm going to preach that sermon sometime. Sin is the discouragement of sin. Frustration, confusion, moral failures, doctrinal errors, all the areas in which he works on us. He knows our weak spot. You know, delicious foods, attractive people, persons who are immodest, and possessions and clothes and cars and houses and position and authority and power. Somewhere along the line, you have a weak spot. And the devil's doing anything he can to ensnare you and trick you. The Satan will put something out there to entice you, just as he did with Adam and Eve. And I'm done with this. Eve was deceived. I've said this to you before, but Eve was deceived. Adam was disobedient. And Satan is still working around the clock to see that you are one or the other. Say that again now. Eve was deceived. Adam was disobedient. And the devil's working around the clock to see that you are one or the other. Either that you are deceived into doing something that you didn't even realize that was going on, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and say, oh, man, I have really, really stepped in a mess here. Or just out and out disobedient, just like with your children. Sometimes they do things wrong that they didn't know that were wrong, especially growing up, and you have to be, you know, gentle with them. At least I did try to be. And say, okay, you know, this is wrong, and here's why this is wrong. Explain, you know what I'm saying? As adults, we do the same thing. Satan will snare us. All of a sudden, we wake up one day, we're into something that we didn't even know was wrong. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in a mess. And then we have those children who are just openly and defiantly disobedient, rebellious. Right? All children do that from time to time. And sometimes we as children of the Heavenly Father, we are out and out disobedient and out rebellious against Him. And that's just old Satan working on us. That's just old Satan working on you, ensnaring you. Sometimes he might tell you, you know, the Lord really doesn't care what you do. Can I tell you he does? And his eyes go to and fro. Oh, Satan will trick you every way he can to get you to rebel and be disobedient. You know, you get in financial difficulty and get discouraged. You lose your health and get discouraged. And man, he'll get you down in the dumps. He'll get you questioning God. He'll get you questioning what's going on in your life. I'm telling you, he's a tricky guy. He's tricky. And you just need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, the devil has tricked me again. Would you forgive me? And God will forgive you every time. Lord, I've allowed myself to be disobedient and rebellious against you. This has gone on too long. Lord, forgive me. And he'll forgive you every time. Put you right back in good standing and good fellowship with Him. Thank the Lord He didn't boot us out. Amen. But that fellowship is broken. It's tough when that fellowship's not there. Oh, Satan, he's tricky. And those wiles of the devil, that trickery, the wiles of the devil. I've already gone longer than I said I was going to. Let's don't be tricked by old Satan. And when we are, get that thing right. Let's don't allow ourselves to be openly defiant against God. And when we do find ourselves in that position and the Holy Spirit convicts us, let's pray and ask for forgiveness and get that thing right back where it needs to be. I enjoy, as you know, I talk about it too much, but I enjoy my relationship with my dad. I enjoy it. I went and picked up Micah yesterday in Bowie, the greatest city on earth. Haslett's getting running second close. I'm really, really loving Haslett a lot. But I was born and raised in Bowie, Texas, a huge city north of here, metropolis. So I met my dad up there at the Dairy Queen. That used to be the only thing in town. Now they got other stuff. They got a McDonald's now. They have a Chick-fil-A. It's amazing. Remember the Gibsons and OTG&Ys and all that stuff? Then Walmart ran them all out of business. But meeting my dad up there for supper and getting Micah from him, just enjoyed the hour I had with him. I haven't got to spend a lot of time with my dad this summer. Just hadn't worked out. We haven't been able to go up there. My kids have, but I haven't. I just enjoyed the hour I spent with him. I loved it. I still enjoy getting a hug from my dad. And up recently, I can feel that little bit of thing from my dad that says, "You're too busy. Why don't you ever come see me?" And I get that a little bit from him. And every time on the phone, I said, "Dad," he never says it, by the way. He would never complain. And this is going to be on the internet. He may watch it. But he doesn't complain. He knows how busy we are. And honestly, I should make more time to do it. But every time he hugs me, I love it. Every time we have communion together, I love it. And can I tell you, when you are right with the Lord, when I'm right with the Lord, what communion that is, I enjoy reading my Bible when I'm right with the Lord. Sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin, you know. I enjoy that. I enjoy it as much or more than I do my earthly relationship with my dad. Don't let the devil rob you of that joy. You know, I enjoy my earthly relationship with my dad. And every once in a while something comes in, and something stupid that I allow to interfere with that relationship, and then I get it right. Even to this day, as an adult, I still do that every once in a while. Man, what nonsense. Get those things right. Allow the Lord to work in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for, again, that you have not left us defenseless. And that, God, you've given us an armor. You've given us a sword to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, help us to be consistent in our walk with you. Help us to take courage, to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and to fight that good fight of faith. Help us throughout this next week. Life is tough and working day after day and driving in the traffic around here and all the things that our congregation faces. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would strengthen all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.